Blog Talk Radio.
Never violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't keep, and I would never testify, cop out for a plea, or surrender information on my boys to the police, and you could never catch me on the block without a strap, and I would never pull it out unless I'm about to black, and I could never forget my homies dying for their scratch, but ever pouring out liquor for them, God to the back, and I
would. Very happy to join you. See every friend in the building, man. Appreciate you coming out to fuck with me. In the building. I see y'all out there, man. I just want y'all to know one motherfucking thing. I would never, ever violate the codes of the streets, and I would never make a promise that I know I couldn't.
Heads up, eyes open, the fist clear. Say to me, get some of this here shit. This could be the chairman checking in. Now, when I say cold to the seas, we talking about the path to clubs. Not at the party clubs, that is. I would never violate the cold of the seas. Would never speak nor serve the interests of our enemies. And if I say that I'm with you, we'll come get you. You best believe that like bad luggage, we'll never leave. Now, of course, I can never say that I never will go broke. Because sad to say that we ain't never had this shit roll. Well, I can never say how it's gon' go. One thing for sure, two things for certain. There's no to shut up motherfuckers like us. They gon' have to kill us. Close up in the casket. Read a quick verse and close the motherfucking curtains.
Never be sad, I would, I like a hoe. Never been punk, I'll never let it slide. Never let it go. Never ever, never ever ever. No, get on my level hoe. Or go get a shovel hoe. It's never in question for my manhood, I get down. I never switch, never snitch, never sit down. I never hesitate to squeeze a nigga six rounds. I never squat to take a bitch, who's the bitch now?
I would never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I would never sell my soul. Never put bullshit in the business and never place good upon the evil. You see, why I'm determined to die before being dishonored. Committed to being captured and killed before being capitulated. And now we'll be perfected and pushing this shit to the motherfucking living. And if need be, pull the motherfucking trigger with a pistol without no hesitation. I will pass the cover to my last breath, to my last goddamn roar. And we'll never forget what them pigs did at 4:35 a.m. in 1969 in Chicago on December the 4th. Never.
Never ran, never will, I ain't never scared. It's in my bloodline, the realest nigga ever bred. And that's some of the realest shit that I just ever said. And I can die, but through my lyrics, I ain't never dead. I never disrespect my mama, never disrespect her mama neither. I never turn my back on Jesus. I never get caught off in the system, I believe her. Man that follows man, ain't a man, and I'm a leader.
I will never cross my comrades and never forsake our fight for freedom. And if you listen to my second verse, let me say it again just in case y'all won't listen. I will never put profit over politics, principle, nor our people. I will never disrespect the legacy of Minister UEP. Never betray the Black Panther Party. And never bow down and lay down a legacy at the feet of our enemies. Never. I am a Panther cub by birth and by battle. This is my bloodline and my prison time. And when it be, now wherever the enemy, if they try to hijack this legacy, wherever it be, not on our watch. For we'll never have it. Never.
Never gonna turn cold, my nigga. I can never trade. I never cross my homies out. That ain't how I'm made. And I never had not one regret on how I was raised. I'm from the ghetto where I slung and rapped it every day. Never knew no other way. This thing gon' never change. Never gon' bite my tongue. Fuck what a nigga say. 100 with myself. I swore to God I'd stay the same. And when I finally got my paper, I was on my game. Never talk a nigga down. Do your thing, dawg. Never hate a dude for trying. That's insane, dawg. Get your motherfucking money. That's the thing, dawg. Too many homies die young. Feel my pain, y'all.
October 23rd, 24th, 2016. All roads lead to Oakland, California. Lonely legacy of Black Panther Party. Protected, respected, and never, never neglected. Never.
Rage.
in the griddle in the middle like Moni. You phony cause your style's baloney, but I rock no filler. Ain't a girl in Sierra putting rappers on ice and lock your bodies in the chiller. The way I bust it up, I ultra nasty style like throw up, blow up, then go nuts like a lady ninja killer. I throw you deep beneath the surface. It's the rays from Paige, I heat it up like a furnace. My steelo got smoke, check the gamma ray from the She-Hulk. Stomping through your territory, new rap female category winner. And your style gets played out like the spinners. Not a soprano, I alto, the rage is a tenor. My voice is just right, I bust hypodermic to you in the mind's eye. Making you hip-hop junkies wanna fly like eagles. My style sharp as cathedral steeples. Showing and proving even a lady can be diesel. So breaker, you best keep on trucking. And roll on with that chicken shit that's plucking. You're sucking, stupid, you doofus. I'm rhyming so hard, I'm knocking out your toothless. A teacher, believe this shit, but head just get played out like beavers. Receive it, it's yours, lyrical murder, but still rocking on.
Rock on, rock on. The lady you raised, lyrical murderer, the baddest lyricist.
Now I'm an explosive vocalist, make your ear just to focus. No hocus pocus, no bogus, I'm the dopest. Lyrical diva locus, it's so copacetic. I see through your synthetics with my telekinetics. I mean my telepathics from this mouth of madness. Flows one of the baddest in existence. My existence is prevalent, hesitant not, you'll get dropped. I'm rhyming so hard, I see you knocking outside. Cause I slam like collision from your vision to me. If you can't touch it, not even a smidgen to me. Your pigeon shit to me, so drop it, drop it. Moby, running lyrics quicker than Toby. What's my name? Yeah, you know me. Rage, lyrical murderer. What's my name? Yeah, you're Rage, lyrical murderer. Yeah, you know me. So if you wanna see me, turn on your headlights. I make you run red lights, trying to catch it. Slamming through the radio in the wreckage. Towed away, blowed away. Cut down, mowed away. Curled up like Ola Ray. So let me straighten it out, cause I'm a thriller. Motherfucking MC Cold Killer. When I cock back, you better drop that. Yo, hop back, I rock at the dawn.
Baby. Y'all let the word that we're not on stream, y'all. We are on YouTube Live. They play with the YouTube title. It was Chairman Fred Jr. They got some other stuff added to it now. We fighting on. We're going to get that straight now. I went through our heart, and was okay. We look forward to seeing you August 30th. Yeah. Look forward to seeing you August 30th. Real talk. We got a few things we're going to discuss. We got a few guests calling in, a couple of guests coming in the building with us. We're going to see where they at. We're going to see in the meantime, between time. And after that, we're going to get to moving and grooving. You know what I'm saying? Do what it do. Spirit of making history, taking history, taping history, y'all. We just came back. Knock on wood. Let me thank, first of all, let me extend revolutionary appreciation. Thanks, man. As I say it as the church say, the devil was busy. On this annual trip to go see Chairman Fred down in Louisiana, the devil was definitely busy. But in contrast, God and ancestors were busy too, man. You know what I'm saying? The people were busy. Man, we went through literally through hell and high water, you know. And I really wanted to make this trip, you know. And we'll do it every year, but last year we didn't make it. We didn't make it last year, and I, you know, and I kind of felt the impact with me. I felt, you know, for those who are not familiar with the trip to go down to see Chairman Fred's tombstone, Chairman Fred had to sing it, buried in Hainesville, Louisiana, not that far from Shreveport, Louisiana. And he's buried up in the backwoods. And we talk, I don't know if everyone's familiar, kind of put it in context, where he's buried at, law enforcement annually shoot his tombstone up every year. Again, law enforcement annually shoot his tombstone up. Curio every year. And, you know, we have an annual pilgrimage, you know what I'm saying, a trip to go down and check on Chairman Fred. Approximately 3 or 4 years ago, we came to get concluded with putting out not a bulletproof covering, like a casing, but you can still see through it. Cause we think it's imperative that kind of like the MNT tactic, the world see, you know, what's occurring, you know what I'm saying? And a point of note also, Marco MNT was murdered at Money, Mississippi. That side is shot up, you know. You know, plain white nationalists were okay. But this, I'm pointing this out for another reason, that these, whether the state directly, the police, or the its benefactors, you know what I'm saying, Klan or white races, whatever the case may be, they don't need any flyers or reminders. They know the significance of these dynamics. But the law enforcement, the state directly, again, that's who should put the tombstone over the chairman before it happened. We made it down there. This time, I mean, it was just a lot of contested conditions. You know, I still got red clay dirt stuck all on my boots. And, you know, people, you know what I'm saying, man, comrades and the community came together. Went through a lot of stuff. I don't try to remember these jokers' names I'm about to mention. Chicago Vans. You know, even in Chicago, they outside Chicago, but the name Chicago Van. We get a number two, we'll do some call-ins on them, you know what I'm saying. They did some, pulled some bold stunts with us. I mean, everything from openly admitting they give us a van is not up to tires, you know what I'm saying, being balls and so forth, and to going to the point that even with the van being, we weren't in Louisiana, in Arkansas, I think it was Arkansas, we had mother comrade, you know what I'm saying, other elders, people with disabled children. Man, these hick towns, they literally cut the van off with they call it Zojack. You know what I'm saying? Cut, we no power to the van. And, you know, they pulled his control. We said, man, it started, went bad, what's going on? After a few minutes, you know, so we had to get reality check. These jokes from Chicago vans, again, we're going to put their numbers out there too when we call in. We're going to make them infamous. Again, not famous, but infamous. You know, they're basically famous in a bad way. So, you know what I'm saying? These jokers are, they call, we all going. Y'all, listen, we made that clear. In fact, in the contract, it said, if we go past 10,000 miles, the oil changes on us. So, I mean, we ain't talking about you going nowhere near that, but you recognize this van basically is a sprinter. It pulls you for travel, you know, and distances. And so we went through a lot. I'm talking, man, a lot of issues with that, man. And so definitely, you know what I'm saying, you feel the response of the people, just calling and all that to these jokers. So real talk. So we all the contradictions, and then we made it down there. You know, shout out to all the forces that were there that received us, aided us. Excuse me, the people are your best security. You know, the pictures don't do it justice. I see my brother Stephen W. Lynn pop in. This force, man, knock on wood, hey, can count on. I don't care what's the case, you know what I'm saying? Rain, sleet, snow, he on deck, you know what I'm saying? So that was a phenomenal energy, you know what I'm saying? You know, I love the sister too. Then they came down. So the trip was inspirational. And we want for a number of reasons. In fact, it's a lot of discussion about fatherhood, a lot of discussion going on right now. In fact, you know, about, you know, Tupac's biological father. We want to talk about that, your thoughts on that, you know what I'm saying? And the politics of, you know what I'm saying? How, you know, in the black community, how fathers are viewed, you know what I'm saying? And humanity in general, politics in the state. Do you have any callers in queue on that end?
Very much. No callers in queue.
No callers in queue. Okay, forgive me. No callers in queue. Y'all get 929-477-3785, then press 1. 929-477-3785, then press 1. I'm going to go right into this here. I really wanted some coffee, too, but I was kind of hesitant. I don't know how that deal, how coffee works. Name sick, I see you in the building. Again, I guess a few calls calling in about some other cases. We said them calling in, too. Cover of flyer today. I make a brief mention of politics. Excuse me, y'all. We just got back in nonstop, so I'm still kind of sluggish. The politics of fatherhood. And I, you know what I'm saying? We try to struggle to give a political assessment to a community in particular that's bombarded with reactionary assessments, you know what I'm saying? Or told to the eat, always assess reactionary. I mean by that is, this is one cat. I'm using, you know, not to put them on, I'm just using, you know, we saw the different dynamics, like, you know, just gender contradicts, men and women. And he, you know, he's talking about how subjective, you know, it was very subjective assessment. And I was saying, the reality is that, you know, politics impacts everything. And I look at situations, I look at people, and I could see them and imagine, you know, so like with the politics, opposed to politics, and politics, you know what I'm saying? And it brings out or heightens certain things that may be dormant, or certain, you know, even characteristics, or, you know, the overall, it comes out to the basic survival, you know, basically politics is food, clothing, and shelter, survival. The distribution of those, how you get it, if you get it, is political. How you view a person that gives it to you, it's political. Black Panther Party position was that the party rules, you would never just steal one piece of thread from the people. You know, you steal one piece of needle or thread from the people. That liberating from the ruling class, from the oppressive forces in our communities, that's a different discussion. That's a different discussion. So you did still say liberating from stealing, you know, that's political. And I was back to the case, a point I was struggling with this brother once, and who I could feel like also kick in, just having flashed that thing about the struggle with this cat. I'm working on it. I'm picking my moves who I struggle with. And I was saying, you really, you know, like different times, it's like a war between, and within the black community, you know what I'm saying, you know, young and old, but in particular, like men and women. And you never hear no assessment of the state. Never. You never hear that. And a couple of things that the state does is they elevate and they provide the most corrupt examples of black men, black women, and you know what I'm saying, and it creates disdain, similar to like how we have a lot of people in North America have disdain for those from Africa. The ones they will give you, the ones they will show you, you know, man, I'm cool with them. But you know what I'm saying? But it's teaching you what people you come into contact with. And even relationships, you know what I'm saying, the politics of it, and, you know what I'm saying, childhood. And a lot of people say, no, they assess and suspect it, like, this person's like this, you know, somebody because, you know, they're Aquarius or Virgo, whatever the case may be. Negating the politics. In fact, I recall even people like Wendy Williams had said something to the effect, like she said, she could understand how Ludacris, excuse me, the rapper Ludacris and Dwayne Wade, the battle, how they were both able to just get their children, these children, you know, weren't even walking. And I said, what do you mean by that? She was acknowledging. She said, how could a man, and you know, it's a whole other discussion, you know, some of you, you know what I'm saying, but listen, how could black men, that's ironic. It's something that the black, they were able to get the children, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I mean, especially in this period, you know, they have been breastfeeding, none of this shit. And it's, the reality is political. Who they give you, who they raise up, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes you the ruler class themselves have to tell you this is how it goes. How you view, there's a movie I recommended earlier to my cousin called Claudine. Tell us the politics of, you know what I'm saying, a welfare, another social service that the state provided, where a man can't be in the household. And these may be laws that you may see, you know what I'm saying? You may say, okay, we're going to do this for a week or two, just get some more bologna, stack them on our food, that you go, you know what I'm saying, when some social worker come into the house, they don't see you. After a while, you become accustomed to it, it becomes contagious. You know what I'm saying? It becomes contagious. Think about yourself, how many times in your life you say, I'm just going to do this for a few days. And for you know how, you know what I'm saying, how normal it became to you. In fact, like in a movie in Brazil, based out of Brazil, titled The City of God. And the young brother got to go on stick-ups. And get on stick-ups, he said, this is referred to, you say, hey, man, you sure you want to do this? He said, yeah. He said, after the third time, it becomes routine. It becomes routine. And the state, a system, don't take this as no attack on any of our people, you know, the recipients of, you know, welfare, whatever the case may be. But to lay out the background of the politics of the state knows that, again, the mindset that comes with it, you know what I'm saying, because he politics, not electoral politics. This, again, how you receive food, how you receive, you know what I'm saying, and how you do that. And in most cases, it would be the movie industry, corporate America, the hunters in the woods, you know what I'm saying, the killing of the bucks, the elk, you know what I'm saying, elks, you know what I'm saying, and it's how, you know, how men are viewed, and I think you can fall, it's a policy tool. I just tell you, like, I had a discussion with a brother, even with animals. I happen to have the female dog in this case. It happened to have how a brother brought, you know what I'm saying, a male dog through there that they had bred, and I had to catch myself because he's calling me. I said, the puppy survived. And I was kind of not dismissive about giving him updates. I had to remind him. I said, man, I said, because even technically, you know, dog breeding, they said, you know, the male dog gets the boy, pick a litter, and that's it. You can forget that, you know what I'm saying, now you get the female dog, you know what I'm saying, doing the breast milk. You can forget the importance of the male dog. And I tell my communities and our families, you know, you see such dynamics. But, you know, and, but you can really, the ruling class, they look at and they can study the impact of people who've been deprived of that, you know, just that feeling. I talked about before, like even myself, how I would try to hold my hands down when I spoke. But to see Chairman Fred speak and how he moved, it was a pride I took amongst how I moved my hands. And, you know, you need those different dynamics, you know, it's embarrassing being oppressed. It's so embarrassing to the point where we try to jive ourselves, we try to, you know, make do, we adapt, you know, saying, well, what is what I do? You know, on the jails, they would use a term called dream sandwiches. Like, you know, police won't bring you no food. This is what you do, you know what I'm saying? We adapt. So I'm eating a dream sandwich, you know. Make up, you know what I'm saying? Like in our communities. with snatching up a certain period of time with just a black man. You hear certain responses, you know what I'm saying? Well, my mother's my mother and my father, you know, it's biologically impossible. It doesn't make no logical sense. But it's step by step of thought master, you know what I'm saying, imperialism breeds. And you could, like, I'm drawing the question with animals. I look at a boy dog, a boy puppy. Their first, you know, so you know how to use the bathroom. You take for granted a person or animal. I like your nose. This male puppy has to see male. You know what I'm saying? Do process say, hold on, this ain't how I use the washroom. You know what I'm saying? And these, like, in our communities, we even go out to have some period of time. You know, say others in the community. They say, hey, no, this had me into a situation, you know. But our communities have been so destabilized. It's intentional that the options are few, for, you know what I'm saying, for those examples. We live direct on Free My Radio, y'all, making this, you're taking this, you're taking this. Y'all feel free to tap in with us, y'all. Free Monster, come rant.
Free Monster, let me have a call.
My dad called him. We sell. Right on. Yes, indeed.
Free your mom.
Yeah, I believe in them. Free My, welcome to Free My Radio.
Yes, Marquell Bridges, president of Black Lives Matter Mississippi and Building Bridges for Community Unity and Progress. How you doing, Chairman?
Oh, man, I'm well to see you. We look forward to seeing you this past Father's Day. Down in Louisiana.
Man, my apologies. Everything that could have went wrong. That's all.
Man,
that's on me.
Yeah. I definitely understand, brother. You know what I'm saying? No, to hear your voice, you're still safe. You're still on this side of the dirt. You know what I'm saying? That's what we want to hear. But I say in church, the devil was busy on the past weekend. Yeah. Everything was stopping, man. But I'm glad to hear your voice. What's happening, brother? We made it down there.
We're in Farmerville, Louisiana, for the Ronald Green case, pre-trial. They indicted all five officers. So I'm down here trying to rally the community, get them out to support this family.
Won't you give our listeners a little background on Ronald Green case, just in case, you know, say, or bring back up to speed?
Got you. Ronald Green was traveling through Farmerville, Louisiana. He was stopped by five white Louisiana state troopers who had sent out texts that it was N-word night. I don't know if we can say it over the air, that they were hunting black people.
Yes, we can.
Oh, that it was nigger night, and they was hunting black people. They pulled Ronald Green over, and they beat, tased, and murdered him. For a year and a half, they told the family that he died in a car wreck. It wasn't until a black officer who released the video, which has been terminated, that the family found out the truth, that the five white officers, in fact, murdered him viciously.
I remember that video. I recall that video. Ronald Green, Louisiana. What happened to him, to the police down there in Louisiana? The video footage, you know. When you hear people say, by the Civil War, the South will rise again, our question is, when did the South ever fall? And they beat this brother, man, so bad, man. I mean, I'm in flashbacks, you know, just, man, seeing the footage of it. But I'm glad our brother Markel bring us the speed to touch down there. And again, what's the court date now happening? But the charges.
The court date is Friday at 10 a.m. It's pre-trial going, where we're at the final point before they actually pick the jury and go into trial. They just organ all the motions. Yeah. The defense is doing what they do, being evil, trying to find ways to dismiss the indictments, talking about what his initial statement incriminated itself. So basically an admission of guilt, but just trying to wiggle out of it. But all five, it's the first time since 1812, since the state was founded, that an officer has been charged with killing anyone. So it's a very historic case, and that's why we here. This family needs support. All around the board and secure these convictions.
What's that of the boot? What's that of the boot of northern South Louisiana, Farmville on?
It's about 30 to 40 minutes from Monroe.
Oh, wow. That's down there where we just came from.
It is.
Monroe is not too far from Monroe. Just the FYI too, you know what I'm saying, with a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, company minutes, UAP Newton, man, Ronald Mojizaga, a whole list of people came from down there. I forgot who else. Norman Richard, he'll come in, he'll call in, let him know the whole history. But Monroe, all that's the area, Minden, Haynesville, Shreveport, all of, that's on the other side of the boot as opposed to New Orleans, Baton Rouge, all this, that's other, you know what I'm saying. So all that's on the same side of the book. They call, you know, Louisiana designed like a book. Yeah.
Oh, that's what they call the other side of the book. Got it. Got it.
The other side, right. That's all that's in the same area. Yeah, Minden. Yeah. Wow.
Okay, I'm aware. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's Friday, huh?
Yep, that's Friday. So we up here trying to rally the community, get them out, fire, going to cook for the community, just anything to bring them out to support this family. We dealing with Michael Corey Dinkins in Mississippi. He was sexually assaulted by six white officers. They broke into his house, handcuffed him, beat him, tased him. They tased him over 30 times, waterboarded him with the milk and the alcohol in the cabinet, sexually assaulted him with dildos, and then put the gun in his mouth and shot him in the head, in the mouth before they left. He survived. His name is Michael Corey Jenkins.
No, man, repeat. Listen up on this again. I'm moving so, man, I remember vaguely. You know, man, you can't never get used to this stuff, man. Listen again. Okay, our brother put us into the case down in Ronald Green, and that footage may be hard to find, but you got to see this beating with him. This going down Friday in Farmville or Farm, the exact location.
Farmerville.
But listen to this other case. I said again?
Michael Corey Jenkins. Rankin County, Mississippi. He was at his friend's house. Six white officers, drug task force, kicking the door, no warrant, put both men in handcuffs.
Hold on. Type them names in from somebody on these social medias, on these YouTubes. So I need that Ronald Green. That's in
Farmerville, Louisiana.
Farmerville. That's the court Friday. Then
yes,
y'all put that up. Then we got here. Okay, now, and where in Mississippi? What part of Mississippi?
Michael Corey Jenkins.
Michael Corey Jenkins.
Yes,
Michael Corey Jenkins.
K-I-N-S. Yes, sir.
J-E-N-K-I-N-S. Type it up. Google it, somebody, while we talk, while our brother gives us up there on this case. Michael Corey Jenkins.
Mike, he was at a friend's house. His friend happened to date a white woman. So the six white officers was mad about that. They were a part of a drug task force. They come in, kick in the door with no warrant, put both men in handcuffs, beat, tase. They tased them over 30 times by their own redacted report that they turned over to the attorney. They tased them over 30 times trying to see whose taser was the strongest. Beat them, kicked them, threw eggs at them, waterboarded them with the milk in the refrigerator and the bottles of liquor in the cabinet, sexually assaulted them with dildos, and before they left, they made them shower together, and before they left, they put the gun, kneeled them down, put the gun in Michael Corey Jenkins' mouth, and shot him. But he survived, thank God. They've just launched a $400 million lawsuit. Rankin County, Mississippi. Sheriff's Department.
Rankin County, Mississippi. I'm gonna say this again. Rankin County, Mississippi. What city, Mississippi?
It's Braxton. It's right by Jackson. 10 minutes from Jackson, Mississippi.
10 minutes from Jackson, Mississippi to Braxton.
Mm-hmm.
If I ain't know my history, I would be like, I don't know. I can't. You know, you just got to be some movie script or something. This goes down. This is happening.
Yes, sir.
You did.
Yeah, I'm happy
this
you pulling it up so you can see it. Mm-hmm.
Man, this is happening.
I was the first one to speak about that. The family reached out to me. This is part of the work I do in Mississippi. But they beat him, tased him, and shot him in the mouth. So we're fighting for him against the Rankin County Sheriff's Department. And these same two officers, two of the white officers was on the scene, is also responsible for the 2021 murder of Damian Cameron, who they beat to death in front of his mother.
How many of y'all knew these names right here? These names right here. man, I mean, this right now that's happening. Spell his last name that's happening.
C-A-M-E-R-O-N. Damien Cameron. That he was beat to death in front of his mother. Mm-hmm. And two of the white officers who did this to Michael Jenkins did kill Damien Cameron. So if they would have been stopped then, they wouldn't have been able to come do this to
man,
Michael
can't
Jenkins.
Make this up. Man,
yes,
give
sir.
This here, man.
We're also
Damien
dealing
Cameron,
with
two of the same mm-hmm. pigs that get out and keep up these damn names, man. It's bad. Those other brother names, the one that they shot in the mouth. And
Michael Jenkins. Michael Corey Jenkins.
Michael Jenkins. Please get down on him. These career criminals, you dig? You know what I'm saying? Running them up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Running them up.
Yep. And we're also We're also dealing with the Rasheen Carter case. He was lynched in Taylorsville, Mississippi. Rasheen Carter.
Yeah, because it's south, it's north, east, west, all up. This is I know about this kid. We know about this kid. We went on the ground about this kid. Bring our listeners up to speed on this case.
Yeah. Rasheen Carter was working out of town. He was a college graduate, a successful business owner. He was a welder, went to school for welding. He was welding, working for a place called Georgia Pacific in Taylorsville, Mississippi, subcontracted. He gets into it with his ride tell him he no longer can ride with him. They were staying in Law, traveling to Taylorsville working, Law, Mississippi, traveling to Taylorsville, Mississippi working, and he left walking. So that day he left the job walking. Three trucks full of racist white men began to attack him and throw racial slurs. He FaceTimed his mom. His mom instructed him to go to the police department. The police turned him away on October 2nd, said they couldn't help him and they couldn't take him to his room. He goes missing. His body was found November 2nd, decapitated with his genitals in his mouth. They're still finding body parts of him. And where they find him, they find him body parts of other people. So it's looking at like some kind of Klan killing field in Taylorsville, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely can't make this up, Chairman.
Yeah, make sure we got to tighten up our relationship too, but like our south correspondence or something. You know what I'm saying? Because like, we want to make sure we get every nook and cranny of this country, and particularly what's going down. Because a lot of people can get caught up and forget. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, you know, people talk about the Juneteenth shit, going off for the free. This is
yeah, the real like, work.
This is history.
Yeah,
this is history. You know what I'm saying?
This is all 2022, this is all November, December 2022, and Michael Jenkins happened in 2023. Adrian Murray happened in 2023, 11-year-old boy. His mom, some guy pops up at the house acting a fool. His mom slips 11-year-old Adrian Murray the phone to call the police. He called the police. He's a hero. Police pull up and shot him. 11 years old.
Shot him three times in the chest. 11-year-old brother.
Yeah.
11-year-old.
Yeah.
All these cases, man, the South, man, you know, so this happened right now. And I, you know what I'm saying? And all we get is just the South, you know, rap battles going on. We being knocked off, y'all.
Yeah.
We, you know what I'm saying? The South, Northeast, we being knocked off, man.
It never stopped, as you say. It never stopped. It's definitely still an attack on black life. And just to be honest, It's gotten worse. They got more blatant. But in all these cases, in Mississippi, the first 6 months of 2022, there was 27 officer-involved shootings. All 27 cases was no bill. So this is deeper than just the police. We're talking about the coroner, the DA. Everybody is helping cover this up and denying black people justice. Yeah.
Real talk. I need some websites and some contact too, my brother.
Gotcha. I'll send you everything I have over. And the last one before I get off, Clarksdale, Mississippi, a 15-year-old black boy was dating the daughter of an ex-cop. He went over to see the little girl, not knowing her father was racist.
Here we go.
The father pulls up and kills him. The father is still not arrested or anything.
How old is his brother? And what's his name?
finna give you.
What's about 15, his name?
He was 15 years old. And his name is Cornelius McGee. He was 15.
Where's your mom? He can't make you in the hollow.
All of this is 2023, 2022. So don't think this is all this that happened forever. No, this just happened, and I can give you the forever ago cases that nobody seemed to care about. You know, this selective outrage that we have. You know, when you look at the Ronald Green case, that's 2019. They held him down and choked him with a flashlight for like 20 minutes, way before George Floyd.
Yeah.
So you know, we got to quit this selective outrage of what we care about and what we don't.
Yeah.
And that's one of the worst things I've seen.
Well said. Well, man, we on deck with this shit, man. You know what I'm saying? Black Panther Party Club, we rolling, man. It's our daddy, man. On easy moves. So let's get the information. Who the power players is in every respect of ward or whatever county they got. We want to make sure that they hear us in the city council, the rap concert, the football stadiums, you know what I'm saying? We want to be like a reverb effect. You know what I'm saying? But these different respect their cases. Man, we lined up Rick, y'all. I mean, y'all just heard some hard H-A-R-D, H-E-A-R-T hitting updates about what you know, was happening down that south, man. So, you know what I'm saying? Again, I know we can't want to say Juneteenth on the whole week, we'll be idealistic, you know what I'm saying? We can always be partying, but hey, man, it's still going down. Real talk. It's still going down.
Last case I'll leave you with is Glenn Foster Jr. Glenn Foster Jr. is a former Saints player, business owner, father of five little girls, awesome father, awesome businessman. He was simply traveling through Carrollton, Alabama when he was stopped. They arrested him, beat him, tased him to death, killed him in the jail, said they released him, then rearrested him, tried to say for stealing, but they never released him. And that was the last time he was seen alive by his family. His name is Glenn Foster Jr.
Foster Jr., I need that state, that county, where that happened at. We need flood. Hey, I got some assignments about this Chicago van. Want to call in to them. I need some people, some unlimited phone calls. You say they bored, they doing something like going out, it's too hot outside. Man, all these people work these social medias. What happened to put their name up there? You know what I'm saying? In the state and the county. You know what I'm saying? You might feel like you don't get the time, energy. We want this stuff discussed, real talk, in a real show way.
Yes, sir. That's Glenn Foster Jr., Carrollton, Alabama, former Saints player.
Wow.
So it doesn't matter what class of life you was in. It doesn't matter what your job was or how you acted. They killing you because you're black.
Real talk.
But I'm on the chairman. I'm honored. I apologize. I was honored to even be invited to spend Father's Day with you at the gravesite. So I just want to extend my sincerest apologies. I give my word. I like to keep it. But the devil was definitely busy, so I plan on making that up to you and supporting you however I can.
Yes, indeed. Well, we want to invite you to come on August 30th for the Chairman Fred Street Party. August 30th, I'm going to get the list of events there for you. We do an annual trip down in to the grave site, man. And I'm still drained from the stuff we went through. And, man, I'm talking, man, the toll it takes until that. In South, man, like I say, people, just the cases you mentioned, man, you know what I'm saying? It's just the psychological impact. You know, you talk about chattel slavery, we ride through at night, you know what I'm saying? The trees, you think about, you know, not that long ago, you know, the struggles, you know what I'm saying? Our people, you know, dealt with, you know, so making the moves, escaping, and so on and so forth, man. Now, we appreciate you. I'm going to get down there and speak to them, to the children that you're working with down there. We're going to make that happen. But we want to start connecting, you know, north, south, east, and west. So August 30th is coming up, and also every, you know, so we'll make that trek, Father's Day, that trek down there, man, because our caravan real deep, Real deep. So no, we appreciate you. August 3rd. Yep. We definitely gonna charge it to the heart, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, the mission. Like I said, we've seen you on the battlefield before, brother. So yeah, we on deck, no doubt.
All right. Love you, brother. Thank you. Free them all.
Love you more. Free them all. The people and keep us up there. That was so needed, man. Because a lot of times we can call about our subjective situation. Like, damn, it's fucked up in Chicago. Man, I'm so sick of this shit going down to Cleveland. Man, the police fucking us over in Philadelphia. We got to make these connect these dots, y'all. You know what I'm saying? Because one of the setbacks of subjectivity is like, okay, well, man, I'm going to move. And we hear certain things like, you know, and the brain on its own could do certain, dismiss certain things. But then add to that the state, the politics, you know what I'm saying? Well, the brain is affected by the politics. You go to the South, oh, yeah, man, I love down the South, man, the food, good. Oh, man, you get out there, that fresh grass and smelling trees, man, just that freedom. And you can negate all these cases the brothers just ran down. You know what I'm saying? I mean, going up in this man's house, I'm talking about, man, these jokers, I'm talking about cut, man, shoot him in the mouth, man, do all type of sexual rape activities on them, man. And running amok, they're going from county to county, state to state, like plantation owner. So this dynamic, you know, acknowledge, man. And again, so we hear about certain, oh, man, you know, what city you live in? Oh, that's the still, you, oh, you, what's your favorite football team? And we talk these cities, we talk about these different locations, like negating. I tell you, my first mindset, if I think about moving somewhere, I hear New Orleans, I thought, okay, I hear my place in Louisiana, my first mindset go, okay, man, you get locked up, you go to Angola. You know what I'm saying? That's how my mind, I hate that, man. You know what I'm saying? It's to be burdened with that, man. But let's just say, man, the reality of, the American dream, you know what I'm saying? You hear certain things, and you can dismiss the underbelly of the reality of, you know, that goes with the history. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about Chicago. You know what I'm saying? You just can't talk about the good stuff piece and who Michael Jordan played. You know, you talk about the different. I talk about the dynamics that how they attacked their roles to play for the Bulls. You know what I'm saying? You know, the gangster tactics. This machine trying to run down on him. Like, you know how they tell these athletes who they got to donate to, and you know what I'm saying? The machine politics of it. You know, Philadelphia. You know what I'm saying? The battles that even Mike Africa Jr. just went through recently to get the house on Osage Avenue. You know what I'm saying? Different people, you know, they told the realtor, said, and this, and they didn't answer to anybody except him. But you got it. But at the same time, the history, you know what I'm saying, never forgotten the conditions that, you know, when me, Abu Jamal is here in Capitol. This is, I tell you, look at certain cities. We talked about Boston the other day, and I said, you know, the blatant racism in Boston. I didn't even reflect it. Like, you mean by, like, who is your, you know, you say even sports, you know what I'm saying, automatically, you know what I'm saying, you know, Mad Bird, the street element, you know, Whitey Bulger. And these are different dynamics, man, place to place that people got to acknowledge. I just heard on the radio a minute ago, I was hearing this brother, this is no slight on this brother, he's talking about this farmer's market they got going on in the west suburbs. And he was describing it, and it sounds so good. He said how the fruits and vegetables, I'm listening. I said, man, that's really nice. He said, ain't nothing like this. It's on the radio. He described, you come out there, you know, Saturday and Sunday. He said, man, you said, and then, and I kind of get defensive a lot of times because it's like when people say stuff to the people, it's, you know, like, I mean, there's one guy, he talked about health, you know, and I acknowledge that there's a lot of health conditions, contradictory we have in our community. But this guy was like he was an arrogance. He would say, like, you know, like, I hate when people talk about our situations and, you know, and dismiss, or don't even know what we're going through. Like, you know, like, you know, you like, we just, you don't take into account food deserts. You don't take into account, you know, the politics. You go any, perfect. I was talking to my cousin, Rachel, and I said, what do they do in y'all fast food restaurants? You know what I'm saying? And she said, what you mean? And I said, like, in Chicago, that lemon pepper is like, they just, I said, I'd be concerned about this shit. Like, it's like automatically on the chicken fish. You go any little, foreign merchant store, you throw lemon pepper on you. And I'm kind of concerned with somebody give us excess of something that, you know what I'm saying, without no extra charge or something. They just throw it on there. And she said, they got this thing called, it's a seasoning. That's, you know, and you, before you know it, you adapt to it and become normal. You know what I'm saying? Like in Chicago, it's a thing called mound sauce. We don't really know what's in mound sauce. You know what I'm saying? And we adapt to it. We're like, yeah, we brag about it. We take it on. Like, you know, like, yeah, motherfucker, we the only one got it. You know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, you look at 40 ounces. Like, yeah, you know, white people don't get no 40 ounces. And you find out later on, through history, like, the 40 ounce, even the way, like Dale Jones and the experiments, they talked about this, like the 40 ounce, the way the bottle was designed. It's not the white people. You know, the white people's parties. The college students, they have these kegs, beer kegs. You're like, oh, them goofies got kegs, but it's a reason to the kegs. The kegs, the beer is open where the beer can breathe. The 40 ounce, the mouth of it is like it's closed real tight, and the malt is stuck on it. And you thinking that's like, yeah, malt, that's some cool shit. But the malt is like the chitlins. You're supposed to be thrown away of the beer. You know what I'm saying? It's stuff that we don't know why it's there. We just pick it up with the air. So Cubs said, tell me about the chicken crack. I said, well, damn, what's that? You know, that's a big seed they got up in there. And, you know, so it's different dynamics in our community. People are attacked. And I don't know, like I say, it's easy to attack us and say, well, you should be doing this. You should be eating this. Or that sounds real good. But a person that's not in our community, you know, so what's the closest thing to you that take it to you? You know what I'm saying? What block can you go on and what's open? It's the reality of the world. Go back to the case they had today. So dude was saying, yeah, we doing this ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't eat right and come on out to this farmer's market, you know. It had me to the point of feeling guilty. Like, you know what I'm saying? This the produce. I was like, damn, man, you know what I'm saying? But to beat myself up. And while he's talking, and he really was like saying, like, we could be like suicide, like we doing this to ourselves. And, you know, this is the type of groceries we need to be getting at this place that they got going on. And while I'm about to jump off the bridge, I'm feeling so bad. Like, yeah, I ain't shoot, we ain't shooting. He said, the produce, the thing, is in Forest Park. I said, I'll be there. Here we go. This is Forest Park. This is why I just got pulled over. This is one of them sundown towns. You just see, any discussion you have, and you don't, you negate, I don't want to know about this. It acknowledges that. A lot of people come through, they don't even, and they can go through certain periods of their life. And that, man, it's people who I done met, man, unbeknownst to me, I done met people that were saying they was revolutionary with the Panther Party, had no, they don't even talk, it's not even known. They come into a conversation, a relationship, they come, man, a school, not even taking into account, nothing about no state, none of that, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes it's alluring. I be like, damn, how would it feel to just go through that shit? It's ignorance of this. Imagine that shit. Imagine you just can be, you know what I'm saying, can talk about just going to certain cities and never thinking about, you know what I'm saying, what happens if you get pulled over, what it's like, you know what I'm saying? And you hear people talk about when they're going abroad, different countries. Mother like, oh, hold on, man, hold on, see how they get out. You the Russians, they lock you up. You can just, where you going? Oh, we going to Mexico, you know, say, for a vacation. You see motherfuckers natural, oh, hold on, man, it's shit going to cartel now, you know, up there. White people still be like an arrogant, like the community had to be doing with sharks and shit. They be, you know what I'm saying, they be like the horror movie. They say that they be out there like, well, fuck Jason, fuck Freddy. You know what I'm saying? This camp is closed. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so we going there. And that's sometimes, that's a luxury, like, you know what I'm saying, so it's a race privilege that a lot of people can have. We like to make a joke about the black community. Black people like, oh, shit, fuck that. You go by a house, you hear a little creaking noise, like, man, it's haunted. You in certain places, you're like, no, we're not going to travel over there. You know what I'm saying? This was going down over there. You know, And some communities, the ruling class, you know, not letting go until he directly in the face. Like, what? You know, because the arrogant, like, what? The moose attacking the shark. And, you know, you're like, this they area, but out of arrogance, you can usually come through, and the world adjusts. If you white, the world adjusts to you. You know what I'm saying? You say, you know, sharks been breeding right here, you know, for years. A lot of white people are like, well, I got me a new boat. You know what I'm saying? My children, they're after college now. My wife divorced, got another relationship, and I want to go snorkeling. You know, you talking about objective case about the shark. They, the question of power. They, you know what I'm saying? They said they want to go snorkeling. All of a sudden, some new laws pop in. You know, some new movies come in. Sharks are bad. So then you know, men's attack. So then you know, sharks start breeding. You know what I'm saying? They're coming through, hitting the male sharks. So you say, man, so they can, power can do that. When you oppressed, when you colonized, it's a different viewpoint. You have to look at, you know what I'm saying? You looking, you move, like you like in Chicago, like, all them children, they going to Iowa. Like, oh, you're like, well, maybe because they like the weather. No, motherfucker, it's certain situations and benefits coming down. It's okay, man, housing, Section 8, so. Then you get there, when you get to Wisconsin, then you get reality checks. Oh, they call them up for Wisconsin. I still have Wisconsin. The women get the benefit at the expense of men being locked up in a county jail, you never see them no more. You say, oh, so now you have to say, whoa, now do I really get the more cheese and milk? Do get locked up? How does shit go? You know what I'm saying? So that's a different mindset. So it's important that we have these discussions. When you hear about Alabama, the brothers get you a layout, just that, 4 or 5 different states. Others go in and say, man, I don't have the weather. There's a time period, they call it the Green Book, and like when you can stop it, you know, so you know your parents, they driving down south. And why mama grandma got a buck in the car? There ain't no stopping, ain't no pull over, you know, ain't no pissing and shit. No, you do, they pull on the road, you know what I'm saying? You hit the bucket. These are aspects of being a colonized, you know what I'm saying? And certain people, they never went through, like, they did a study on LL Cool J and Puffy Combs and them. They could find no slave lineage in their family nowhere. Nowhere. They don't mean slavery when it is, because everybody was slaves. You know what I'm saying? And some that was enslaved. There was some that was, you know what I'm saying, that was up with the shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Different contradictions, y'all. We live on Record Freedom, my radio, Spirit of Making History, Taking History, Taping History, live and direct. The call number is 929-477-3785 and press 1. Any callers in queue?
Very much, Chairman. No callers in queue.
Call us, press 1, 929-477-3785, press 1. I'm going to get a Chicago van number out. We're going to expose these criminals. They're not even in Chicago. It's a Chicago van company. And these jokers, man, realize this bogus-ass van, cut that tracking thing, cut the van up on us. We down there, man, Arkansas, some damn well, stuck by some pig farms, pig farm literally and politically, stuck. 97 degrees, mother, comrade, everybody down there, to my stuck. Children, everybody stuck. You know, we had to do call-ins, get the low jack, whatever they had, you know what I'm saying, cut back on. But I'm gonna get that number, some comrades, we're gonna get the Chicago van. We're going to post that number up there, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, the people heard about the horrible service. They've been, you know, the racism and horrible service they've been having, is, you know what I'm saying, and on a review, they go to their websites, and they reviews, you know, the blatant racism, horrible service. Chicago Van Company, I'm going to make sure I get the exact number, make sure I go to the exact website. I don't use the wrong one, you don't want to get a credit to the wrong people. We're going to make that before we close out. That book is kind of hard to find, too, right now. I'm kind of hesitant, too, because that book been, the book up on Madison down on 75th Street, at a certain period of time, I utilize it. I got to keep my guards on what it is, because it's like a double-edged sword. see, it's like you have to keep in context with certain information, like the coca leaf. The coca leaf in Afghanistan with the people use is one situation. Once the white people, once the ruling class got their hands on it, put their chemicals on it, they crack and say, oh, we say, remember that coke? Oh, I don't recommend. You know what I'm saying? Be careful with that now. It's some crack makers. They're trying to flip the book in their interest now, so you be real careful with that book. Now, you know what I'm saying? The politics, you got to be on a pivot, too. You just can't rest on your laurels. Oh, this is a good thing. It's good. It's like you get some clothes, you know. Get some clothes. You say, oh, that was a shop. What period of time? Or who was it? Now, certain things that are consistent, you know, certain people you can call, you say, man, I knew you were going to be solid steel. And certain people, you can, like that movie, Heat, the Nero portable woman man working in the fast food restaurant, they ain't seen each other in years. Hey, man, got a mission going down. He knew dude was going to make this dude was solid. Certain people, you get calls, man, I see how, you know, what relationship, type, who he dealing with in relationship, where he at now, what's the back, how's it moving? Certain books you got, you know what I'm saying, certain people, you know what I'm saying, okay, what period of time, what's going on, the climate, so check the temperature. So, yeah, I'm going to be real careful with that right now. I keep your breath, keep you posted, though. Yeah. It's like, movies and stuff, it's going to be, man, who, because they can take certain dynamics. The Bible. It's certain times you say, man, you might say, Revelation is chapter 1, verse 14. You know, he's describing prophet Jesus, man, feet head like wool, you know, feet like bronze. You know, ooh, that's some inspiring shit, man. I can relate to that. And you got to be careful. You saw on the plantation or penitentiary, the white man bring the Bible in to you, took a word, like, yeah, man, honor that master. You're like, man, oh, hold on. This one, what verse is this? Yeah, man, you know, God said, ooh, what the bam. You say, hold on, this is a, you gotta be real careful, you know what I'm saying? Because it flips the script on you, you know? Appreciate that, no doubt. Just, man, stick with us, man. Stay avid, tuning in to Freedom On Radio. I hope you watch Judas and the Black Messiah, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna get some, we get that put up in text form, you know what I'm saying? So we got some more stuff coming. But I'm gonna still check on that for you to get that, you know what I'm saying? Because even we have some book discussion. If you have any questions, I would like, you know, about that book and other books, we can have some dialogue about it. When you say the enemy will use your words against you. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, the politics, you know what I'm saying, like, especially when you colonize, you know what I'm saying, especially when you're under attack, you know, that's what people, like, even, like, whether, you know, ain't nothing all good and all bad, it's social media, so. Peace and love, freedom, all. It's ironic you just tapped in, since I was just thinking about hitting you. Since that magnesium, this man got an ulcer. I ain't gonna talk about. I guess I'm just. I ain't gonna go into the health issues. That magnesium. I thought about you today. I got hit with that magnesium. I was googling. I think it's something good for the inner line or something. But send me some of that magnesium. Anything else for this? I'm doing some stress. The ulcer. 804 South 17th Avenue. Maywood, Illinois, Captain House. I had a flashback of that discussion about that magnesium, sis. Yeah.
Very much, Cameron. We
got a caller in queue. Free them all, Comrade. Where's
the
Comrade? Free them all. Don't tell me about them. Free them all. Free them all. Radio.
Free them all. Feed them all. Listen, I had to chime in. You was basically, Chairman Fred, on what you was just saying about, you know, different things we read at different times. I just want to make a comment that everybody can't eat Chinese food. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And if people have heard that expression from you before, they know exactly what you're talking about. You know, everybody, because some people eat Chinese food, they go away thinking they're Chinese. And the thing about, you know, like you read the Bible and stuff, you know that during slavery, they had what they call bowdlerized slave Bibles that gave the whole interpretation of how black people, the slaves, the Africans, have to, you know, be total loyalty to the master, the white master, the slave owner, And otherwise, they couldn't get to heaven. That was their, you know, that was what they were here for, to whatever the master wanted to do, whether it was kill them and their children, rape, molest them, sell them, whatever. Whatever the master wanted to do to your black ass, it's acceptable. You know what I'm saying? You have to, any rise up that you did was, you know, it was a sin. It was a sin.
Yeah.
And, you know, you strive to get to a heaven with white people and blind angels. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to point that out. But the main reason I call is to say what a powerful Father's Day that was. Now, I'm not saying bad stuff don't happen. All kind of shit happens, and I'm not going to go into it. But, you know, to make this not happen, make this trip not happen, make it not be successful. But in spite of everything that happened, man, I mean, it's, despite all odds, we made it happen. And I appreciate your leadership, Chairman, to carry us through that, not to major in minors, that I do a lot, and not to, you know, get subjective or get caught up in what somebody said or what somebody did or didn't do, but this is our goal, to get to the cemetery, to give honor and respect to Chairman Fred, and, you know, some other things, you know, that people needed to note about in that area. And I'm going to tell you, and not even to mention this, now it's two Bethel cemeteries, you know what I'm saying? But and I want to say this, too. If you Google Bethel Cemetery, the image of the gravestone with the metal covering on it is right there. That's the first thing that come up when you Google. So next year, ain't nobody got no excuse for going. But those of you that missed it or didn't miss it, August 30th is the Chairman Fred Street Party. And everybody in the whole wide world know at 12 noon, we assemble at 2337 West Chairman Fred Hampton Way. Some people call it the old name, West Monroe, but the people have declared as Chairman Fred Hampton Way. And that's the site of the assassination of Chairman Fred Hampton and Defense Captain Mark Clark from Peoria, Illinois. But I want to say it was, I'm going to go to a church song now because we did hear a little of that on the way. It was a great getting up morning, going to that the cemetery, going to Hainesville, Louisiana, and I was just so proud and honored, and man, it was just such a spiritual and a physical awakening, and it's like, man, we got to keep this fight going. We got to let the children see. We got to make sure our history is told right. Well, that's history. That was back in the day. But it's a repeat of how they continue to mistreat us over and over. And we're the only ones that could stop it. We're the only ones. I don't care how you think you could praise, sing, and all of that stuff. That's nice, you know. But the real deal is we have to start fighting in our own interest, as you say all the time, Chairman, fighting for self-determination, control over our own black lives. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And it's just, I'm still full, you know, full, like they say, full with the spirit. But it was beautiful. It was a wonderful experience. And I just see people that persevered through that. And I got to thank everybody, and I'm not going to mention no names because my memory ain't good, everybody know that, but I got to thank everybody that supported us in one way or another to get down there to make that trip happen. And we had some last minute shit that had to be done, and it got done. People you ain't talked to and I don't know how long, you call them and say, look, we need this, boom, there it is. You know what I'm saying? It was such a beautiful thing, you know, because people say, black people ain't going to do this. They don't want to be free. I mean, black people, everybody, so many people just came through and made it happen. And, again, I refuse to mention the names because I know I'll leave somebody out, but it just brought tears and joy to my eyes and to my heart to see how people say, okay, can you get over here? Can you pick this up? That sort of thing. And it was so powerful. And even as we talked about different things, like we came into an area in the Midwest where they had this, I'm going to exaggerate, people, 1,000-foot-tall cross. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Coming into that heavy Bible belt. You know what I'm saying? To let you know what kind mm-hmm. of country we're going into. You know what I'm saying? And you were saying, mm-hmm. Cherry, you know, damn, Chicago fucked up. But it's some fucked up places that we try to put out of our heads where they're killing. They lynching niggas every day. Every day. We mm-hmm. just don't know about all of it because people don't want to talk mm-hmm. about it. It's a fear. It's a fear. Some people have seen some lynchings. You know what I'm saying? And they are not going to yeah. speak on it. I don't care how tough they pretend to be. It's, man, I'm telling you, this was a beautiful, a great event that let people shine through that you wouldn't even expect or know. And thank you to the drivers and everybody that did something, you know, to make this event a success. But again, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., I got to commend you. Because you carried us through some sticky situations. I mean sticky. I mean sticky for real. Everybody yes. can't do that. Like that dumb shit people say, oh, everybody a leader. You could be a leader. You could be a hell to the no. They can't. They can't. Everybody can't do that. They could have been fighting on the bus, quitting. You know what I'm saying? People say, I'm going to stay here. I ain't going to ride on the bus, on the van no more. I say in the bus. I mean the van. Ride on the van. All kind of shit could have broke through. You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, people dug in, did what we had to do. You know, even in that swamp land, as the car got stuck. Man, I'm just so proud of us. I don't know what to do. And I am really honored to be on the advisory board. Not just in name, but in practice, of the Black Panther Party Cubs. So I done had my little
say. We honored and humbled to have you on the advisory board. That was a phenomenal move. And we don't take, again, I just want to reiterate our revolutionary appreciation. Like you said, so many people came through. Let me say this. I always say we should have a wall of fame and a wall of shame. Let me make sure I get credit to these criminals. Let me make sure I get credit to these criminals also.
Absolutely.
Chicago Van Rentals, 773-800-9898. They rent us, they cut the van up on us. We're going to be keeping y'all posted. You can go to their website.
That's right. They got a Chicago number. Rentals. Listen to that, 773.
Yep. You know, www.chicagovanrentals.com. Get the website. Put your comments on there, how you heard about the racism and the horrible products that they rent out. You know what I'm saying? Repost it, put it out there. So we need to know about, you know what I'm saying? Again, the wall of fame and the wall of shame. And these jokes should definitely be known. So, again, these criminals, they played a major thorn, in, you know what I'm saying, in the attempt to mess this whole move up. So, this is Nioka.
Yes.
The address you asked me for the Hampton House is at 804 South 17th Avenue, Maywood, Illinois, 804 South 17th Avenue, Maywood, Illinois, 60153-AZ. That's the Hampton House. I definitely give Mother Cook Home Radio your love and greetings. No doubt about it. Yes, indeed. I want to follow up, too. Again, this, it's been a few people always say without the people, revolution is impossible. And this is not just a trip, you know what I'm saying? If you don't have port in this annual move is, everything's political. This is the grave site in which law enforcement still shoot up Chairman Fred's tombstone every year.
Yes.
They like clockwork. They don't even know flyers. They like clockwork. So we got a bulletproof casing over it. But this trip here, you know what I'm saying, I'm hesitant to start naming names myself, but the people, those who were there and not there physically. We had a free breakfast on 63rd right up, at a church over there, Pastor Arrington and Pastor David. Phenomenal. The free breakfast, people came out everywhere. The children, everybody ate, you know what I'm saying, on the Black Panther Party, on the Chairman Fred. We made a few more moves, spoke with a couple of more events. They hit the road. Brother Everett, 10 tones down. You know what I'm saying, whatever we needed, you know what I'm saying, man, get on deck with that. Some Fabisha and others, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, on the phone calls. Cassandra, people wasn't there. Like, that's one of the things that you never know about struggle, all the people that's involved in it, you know what I'm saying? So I want to say right on, and all definitely the Black Panther Party Club, the comrades, the youth troops, you know what I'm saying, the trip, you know what I'm saying, the road. Cause Rachel, man, no question, man, touchdown, got here. What needs to be done? I was moving and grooving, man. Again, man, Ross, drivers, man, Toya, everybody, man, man, they feel myself go without saying. You are truly a selflessness, comrade. You know what I'm saying? Acknowledgement. It's important that people acknowledge that, because that's what I'm saying, because we need inspirational things. My sister told me the other day, she said her nephew had a birthday, a graduation. She said her brother could have been able to take care of it. But when she done it, that she could see the impact, you know, how you say my auntie done this, you know what I'm saying? And people need, like, stuff you take for granted, different examples taken in your life, you know, contrast of men and women. You take for granted that you just don't, you know, like that, man. You see certain things, you well, like nutrients, like, you know, I catch my son like, damn, me and Most Def, y'all seen baby last night, his cousin say, well, think water's in coffee, and so I drink water, you know what I'm saying, but you negate like the importance of water or sun, and you it's important also to see different images and different have been impacted by different people in your life, their frame of reference, because you take for granted. All people know this, and you think you just can, you know, they raise themselves, and it's so we're talking about these trips and it's and struggle. Struggle is important. You know what I'm saying? But I tell that people, when you spoil people, spoil children, struggle, it builds character. You know what I'm saying? You can see where you at. You know what I'm saying? Be those contested conditions, you know what I'm saying, and it's important. And then have something you can relate to, and to get there. And it may not. I told him yesterday. I say, now I had a corrected brother who actually, you know, said get the resource to get the van. He said, man, no, you tired, champ. He said, I ain't done nothing this weekend. I said, whoa, watch your mouth, bro. Well, I say, brother, you did a lot this weekend, man. I say, man, do you know the impact of the people, man? I say, James Amos, who played James Evans in Good Times, his grandparents' house was a layover for Garveyites. For those who know what a layover is, a layover is when Garvey, when he going state to state. In Indiana, Garvey, the UNIA, they organized it. Malcolm X's parents, they were Garveyites. And see, you move it, you take for granted. People can stay in hotels. They have places to live at. They get food. No. I can't tell you how many couches. Last minute I pull in. I'm pulling in. Something's happening. I'm right here. Minnesota. You all over the world. You know what I'm saying? One-way ticket. I got to get back. I got to be back. I got to check back in. People who have come through. Well, I can't remember all their names. But the impact that played, that's to see, war can be more simply assessed, you know what I'm saying? That really can't be simply assessed, but a little bit more. You can say, okay, you got your two warring factions. They're fighting. Revolution. The mass of participation, the masses of the people, the role of the bumblebees, you know what I'm saying? The bamboo sticks that you got to be carved out, the bumblebees come out of the bamboo sticks in Vietnam. You know what I'm saying? You ain't get the bamboo sticks carved out correctly, that the bumblebees can't do their thing, come out when the American soldiers come through. The prostitutes in Vietnam, if the gang got the razor blades passed to them the right time, they made a commitment. Ain't no American soldiers getting up and getting up in the morning. It's just, all these are different dynamics, but you need the connections of different dynamics. The climate, the music, the trips. And like we said, we talk about fighting, you negate certain things. Oh, we did a whole bunch of church songs and on the ride there. And see, these are different apparatuses. And Rachel said it was so dark. When she walked down to one corner, she said, man, God, give me a sign. Let me know it was something. She said, something. She said, some street. She said, right there. It's on the same street. It's the street she grew up on. And you know what I'm saying? And she remember that street. We can get to a whole thing. All this going too metaphysical. We ain't did this. We ain't, let's see. The question be, like, a lot of people attack Chairman Fred or deal with different organizations. You say, no. See, the deal is a lot of people the guns, Park Panthers, the guns. That's the question of that. It's a question, you know what I'm saying, how do you deal with it? How do you deal with it? The contradictions, you know what I'm saying? Religion, see, when Reverend Nat Turner was on a tour The lady, the white lady, she was like, this is a nice pastor. He going around. Her brother said, no, hold up. She said, what you mean? I thought you wanted to spread the good word. He said, it's a different sort of response. When he says, he can say the same verse, the same chapter. He said, but they changed rather different when he say them words. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They ain't like when other buck I sent out there. He said, boy, they calm down. And they couldn't nail him to the cross. Well, should we stop him? We whip him? No, he's saying the Bible. But it's, you know what I'm saying? You come in, see, you're hating the contradictions. See, the state had no problem of us having no guns in the black community. In the Black Panther Party stopped politicizing the people.
Come on,
I said, well, man, on one of his mother was like, yeah, keep them guns out there. That's some cool shit. Them niggas should be having that fitness. But yeah, so I said, hold on, man. I said, Denzel Dowell shit happened. We went back over there in Richmond. Man, these motherfuckers kind of, the guns, they pointed in a different direction. The mother was holding kind of different. Well, hold on. What's happening? Now the gun is a problem. Now we got to come with the more for that. For the Panther deal. You know what I'm saying? You get a problem with these different, you know what I'm saying, different street organizations. Okay, yeah, okay, the Devil Disciples, the Disciples. And you start to, oh, what the fuck? The Black Disciples, the free breakfast program. The Vice Stores, the free medical center. The Black Stone, the Black Peace Stone, Rainbow Quarters. Whoa. Now we have a problem here. See what I'm saying? And when you heighten the contradictions, it's a different dynamic. James Brown and one period, like, oh, yeah, Nixon said, come on, bring him in. That nigga told him, black and I'm proud. H.R. Brown and went down and hollered at him. It's a different dynamic. And you have to see the time and put stuff in context. You have to say, okay, man, this is a pro or a con. You have to see the time and put this correct context, y'all. And that's what we're talking about, you know. Revolutionary periods, heightening the contradictions, y'all. We live and direct on Free My Radio. Make sure y'all, again, y'all get y'all account. In fact, we talking about some stuff. I really the only time I'm dealing with before, because upcoming August 30th, I get y'all over show probably next week though. Gonna tie some more things in, like with the Chairman Fred street party and some events with the basketball players. I think 26-27. I'll keep y'all detailed on that. You know what I'm saying? And 2 weeks, another situation. You might hear me say, man, ain't got time talking about that shit. But now, so we gonna be tying in two. The street party. I also want to say my mind and my heart, let me give out a revolutionary condolences. The Club and Community Condolences, the Shaka King, the director of Judas and Black Messiah, his mother, matter of fact, Toya here, I sent you a picture. Toya, I think I see you watch it. I need a picture printed out. It's me and Shaka King and his mother. I got to the memorial service. In New York, 25th is Sunday, I believe. I need that picture printed out for me. I need that picture. I need that printed out. Is it?
Yeah.
Miss Longstreet, Tony Longstreet. But thank you so much. She's. We gotta go live with them lamps, them Panther lamps. She said, this is go next to the couch. They have the couch there. Yes, indeed. You live and direct on the Free of My Radio. International Radio. Everybody tuning in with it. And
can I say real quick?
Yes, please.
Also, I said I won't name no names, but I have to thank Stephen Lynn, Coy Pugh, Alicia, Comrade Cool. I mean, it's so many people. And I'm sorry to some out, but I had to, you know, say those names.
Yeah.
You know, people that help and come through in the tight. And even when it ain't a tight, I just wanted to shout out
yes,
them.
Indeed. No doubt. Definitely. I'll reiterate those names again. And Big Rise, all of you listening, brother. Man, your role, nephew, Capital P, go to man, see, don't shout,
Capital
don't shout
P,
my nephew
don't
on,
get
on Capital P on Instagram, Capital K, Capital P. And, man, Stephen Lee, I'm talking, man, shout out to him, his lady. I'm going to hold it down. Man, hey, let me say the cemetery with Chairman Fred. This ain't no, you know, this ain't no site out there to open. It's back up in the woods. And and they hold it down. I'm doing, man, you can get lost quick. Bethel Cemetery down there, man. And, man, he come through like a trooper all the time. and his, I mean, everybody, his other brother, Big Raz, his mother. I'm talking about, man, we get, so Big Raz told me a story, and it's really re-emphasized about the impact of how it impacts you as a child, different stuff. He said, my first time meeting his brother, he embraced us, made sure we was good. I'm talking about, man, he can't, man, on deck. He said he was, he recalled in the house, his father coming in the house. He said he had a hat like you be wearing. He said, Apple. He said, he had an apple. He said, matter of fact, I still got that hat. He said, I'm going to show it to you, come to my house. He said, he had a leather jacket. He said, I remember him coming in the house, and he said, like beating his fists was balled up. He said, they killed them Panthers. They killed them Panthers. They killed them Panthers. He said, I remember him saying that. My mother was there. He said, I don't know. He said, that stuck with me. He said, then later on in school, they were telling him to stand up for Pledge of Allegiance. He said, I just didn't feel it. It's, I just, my father, him saying it, he said, I just didn't feel it. He said, I couldn't, you know, I stood there. Called the house, my mother said, he said, that's why I worry about my parents. I used to worry about what's going to happen. He said, he came home, his father said, it's gone, get it over with, man, go on, stand up. He said, go back to school, he couldn't do it. He said, I couldn't move. He said, then they called again. His father said, damn it, if he don't want to do it, just do that, leave him alone. He said, he ain't up with it, leave him alone. He said, it was him when he came in. He said, he killed them Panthers, December 4th, 1969. Then the brother took me. We was some of our people, our comrades. They were stuck. They were stuck in the other cemetery. I'm talking about, man, they were stuck down in the pitch dark down south.
Mm-hmm.
And man, Big Rise and them, man, we get down there, man. Net Capital P, man, Comrade Cool Ross, the whole crew, man. The film, the YouTube, everybody held the line, man. Got him out. He took me to his house. He showed me his daddy's hat. Told me his daddy's hat. You never know the impact it sticks in your mind. Keep that in mind, y'all. We're live on the record Freedom Hall Radio, and we got to give Mother Comrade. Y'all look at the video, man. The testimony she gave us, man. Right about it. Cameron, you know what I'm saying? Cameron's going to be 75 years old. It's August 30th. We don't take for granted. You know, we like strong oak. We don't get older. We get stronger. But please, and still be able to get us down there like that. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of battles, man. We don't take for granted, y'all.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And thank you, Rachel.
Rachel, could come through. Yes, G. And, oh, man, love and respect, y'all.
Love and respect.
Hell of a day. Give me a, I think I got a call in queue.
We have a call in queue.
The Black Panther Party Cubs. Cool and Jerry, formerly known as Deborah Johnson. Shout out again, right on. You said something?
Yeah, we have a caller queue. Free my caller.
Free them all. Welcome to Free My Radio.
Good evening, sir. How are you this evening?
I'm well this evening. And you, who we have here?
Princess Shaw from Lawndale.
Who we have here?
Okay, right on. So, right on. Okay, good to hear your voice. Princess Shaw from Lawndale, that's the west side of Chicago, for those who are not familiar. Bring us up to speed. I know you both came on a few weeks ago. We've been phone tagging with each other. Some things you
yes,
had going on
have.
In the Lawndale area. And this is the history on that. In Lawndale, that's what a lot of the Black Panther Party organized was happening there. The Free Medical Center, some more things was happening real intensely over there. What you got, give me the background, who you are, and what you got going on, sister.
Sure. So I wasn't around when a lot of the stuff was going on. So I know my mom, my grandparents were, so I always heard the stories. But I was born into Lawndale. I came up with the word Lawndalian, which means just basically Lawndale as a whole. When I was growing up, I never heard of North and South Lawndale. And so my grandparents moved in Lawndale in 1952, so they seen everything. And so that I was always told the stories of what was going on, you know, as a child coming up. And so that just kind of stuck with me. My grandmother was like a huge historian, and she was, as they used to say back in the day, block precinct captain. So she knew everything that was going on her block and maybe three or four blocks, north, south, east, and west. and I was born and raised on Grenshaw and Pulaski, 3900 block. They've seen it all, right? So from them having Jewish neighbors to the black people moving in, because they were the first black people to move in on their block. And I remember them always telling me, like, man, you know, their neighbors, was, I was like, oh, there goes the neighborhood, and they started moving out when they moved in on the block. Mm-hmm. So, and then all the way back to the land contracts, I knew about that, you know what I'm saying, where the if they missed one payment, my grandfather worked two jobs to make sure they didn't miss any payments. He used to work at the railroad. He didn't have a high school diploma, but he knew how to get out there and make things work. There were trades in the schools, you know, so he learned a couple of trades, and that's what tied him over. They moved up here from Batesville, Mississippi, and, you know, the rest is history, as they would say. But just seeing that from the stories that I've heard to now, it's a lot of still systematic BS that's going on, and that's what I'm working on at the end of the day. I'm tired of seeing it, right? I have three kids that I'm raising in Lawndale, and I'm just tired of seeing it. You know, it's nothing on the the plate for us. Everything is, oh, developers are coming in, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that, all these broken promises, and I'm just tired of seeing it. So what we're doing is a small collective of us is trying to work towards something where we make sure that we're sitting at the table and at all tables, and if the table is not made for us, then we're making our own, and we're making sure they come to our table from this point on. Because it's sad that in Lawndale alone, we still have so many vacant lots. And you have people that lie to the community and say, oh, we have 3,000 lots, knowing darn well they're not going to promise them lots to developers that's going to come in here and try to gentrify and change the neighborhood to appease and, you know, work for them, because they only care about themselves. So, you know, I was having a funny conversation with someone the other day. They're like, yeah, it's Juneteenth. You know, this is about our freedom. I said, are we really free? Because at the end of the day, we still have people that are very similar to our history. And my grandmother was really huge on that. She said, history always repeats itself. And I feel like at some point right now, history repeat itself with some of these elected officials that we have in office steady keeping us out of the mix. As long as it's them and they all right, that's all they care about. So that's what I'm working on in Lawndale, just making sure that we have an equal playing field. And it's the smallest things, right? Like from what I'm hearing and from what I've heard, you know, there were little things that went a long way. So I've taken the initiative or taken on making sure that our seniors don't keep being fall predator to these developers that are coming in, promise them to do stuff on their cribs. You know, I just helped a young lady out, and I call them young ladies because they like that better than seniors, or I call them my elders. But the lady was walking around, someone gave me a call, man, this lady over here, she's tripping, 80 years old. You know, this 80-year-old lady has been paying all full taxes for the last 10, 15 years and did not know that there was a senior exemption.
You went out for a minute.
Sure, I said it was a young lady. She sat up here. She's 80 years old, and I call all my lovely elders young ladies because, you know, they like hearing it. And what ended up happening, everybody in the neighborhood was like, she's angry, this and the third, don't talk to her. You know, I talked to her, built that relationship. We're like, what seems to be going on? Come to find out, she'd been paying taxes, full taxes, on her house that she bought back in 1940-something in the Lawndale area and was afraid of losing it. Had no idea. Man. No one told her about a senior exemption. Man. No one told her that she can be getting money back.
Yeah.
This lady's right now going to get back right at $50,000. 50.
Right on, sis.
And that lady told me, she said, oh, I said, I'm not looking for not one dime. I said, you spend that on yourself, and I don't want anything back from it. But it's just little things like that. We got to start being the village again, and we're not.
Yeah. Right on.
And the only other thing I'm working on, like we were discussing, is about that Light Up Lawndale that I do. But it's just about, you know, bringing unity and community together. Like I said, this year is going to be in December, like it is every year, and then we normally keep the lights up until, like, MLK Day in recognition from him because, you know, he did stay in Lawndale as well. But, you know, it's just a representation of the community. Why do we have to continue to go downtown to see beautiful lights on Christmas trees or even around trees when we got beautiful trees in our own backyard? So I was told by many people, oh, it's a dumb idea, don't do it. I went ahead and went out there on a limb because, you know, I'm optimistic. And for the last 2 years to this year is going to be the third year, we've been lighting up Lawndale. So when people come into the community, they don't have to hear the same old riffraff and BS that they always hear. Oh, it's a bad neighborhood. Don't go over there. You might do this. So for just at least about a month and a half, people are able to see something nice in the neighborhood. And
yeah.
A lot of people have been coming back like, man, that cheers me up during the holiday. I lost a loved one or I just was feeling down. But, you know, it's about making sure that we understand where the power lies, and that power lies with the people. And I get so sick and tired of people that have been conditioned to think that they don't have power.
Yeah. How do people, seniors or better, or elders or young ladies and young men, how do they get in contact with you, especially I know a lot of that sector of our people, a lot of them might not be social savvy either, or social media savvy. So how do they get in contact with you?
Oh, that's nothing. I have a business number, 773-822-2500.
Okay.
They can call it at any time. And I'll say it again, 773-822-2500.
Princess Shaw, in particular with these with the elders or the young ladies and young men, you know, over there in Lawndale, West Side, historical area. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that you might think, you know, you might take for granted or draw that, of the foregone conclusions they already know about. I mean, like, just even them paying taxes, full tax, I know, but a senior exemption, stuff like that, or some food drop-offs, or some toiletries need to get off, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Or an event that's coming down, like, you know, like, when the white people make a joke about it, but the white people be having a bingo game. Like, that impacts that social interaction, their life, you know what I'm saying? To be able to just even be around people, you know what I'm saying? So, so let us know we want to work with you on something like, I don't know, some chess boards, get some youngsters to turn it down there. And it's reciprocal. Well, a lot of youngsters can get information from them, you know what I'm saying, some history. We'll invite you and everybody else out,
and
too.
Now, I mean to interrupt you, but, yeah, we're taking our youth next week. We got about 10, 12 youth, and we can probably use some help with buses, but we're taking them down to city council, right? And I've already made those moves where – they're going to have a spot where they can come in. They can learn about city council. They're going to be fed for the day. And this is the next city council meeting, which is going to be July 19th. So I just implore anybody that just want to bring some youth down there, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's make sure they understand how the system is working.
Because a lot of these young people have great ideas. Yeah. Yeah. That's right on. They say that in schools used to have what they call them civic classes.
Yep.
You know?
Different
dynamics of like, you know, ordinances and laws, and you know what I'm saying? And I think we feel like it don't have nothing to do with us, you know what I'm saying? And them youngsters, they going downtown for different, you know, for different reasons. That was just, y'all know it downtown. They come on us, you know what I'm saying? And sit down and listen to this. And if they had to see these people, because I tell them, they don't see all the different people until they you know, to a parade. I got a campaign. I'm so fed up with this joke in 15th Ward, Braylon Lopez. I'm about to run for damn office. I just want to run for this criminal, man. This racist painting. That's gonna be our next. That's our next painting. We doing our next show. This garbage. He getting over in on 58th and Wood. This nonsense. This chump hate black and Mexican people. Braylon Lopez. I mean, man. This man. Or even four blocks east. No, four blocks. Four blocks east, it's murals of black people. That's 16th Ward over there with Coleman over there. They got murals, picture Chairman Frey over there, some black men. The 15th Ward, though, it's an insult. You know what I'm saying? How he treats and deals with black people in particular. So, let me get on top of this. We're trying to get a van, too. July 19th. The Black Panther Party, we're going to get some youth roll down there with y'all, too. We come on down and see. That's good to come on down to see it, because how do you think you can go down there and go for, and push stuff, and you know what I'm saying? And our children, people don't know who they are, you know what I'm saying? But I'm with that.
Yeah.
That's okay. So July 19th, right on. That's right on. And I would just invite you all out, too. We're having a groundbreaking for the we're gonna have another Hampton House Gardening, we're going to annex to it, addition to it, from the Hampton House. We also have that annex to it. Going to be right over here on 1100 South 11th Avenue in Maywood, Illinois. We're going to be doing that, you know what I'm saying, July 1st, I think, 12 to 2, talking to Brother Everett, we're talking about getting an ice cream truck out there for the tour and some others. That's kind of funny, going to the ice cream truck, because Chairman Frey, he locked him up, gave him a case about giving ice cream to the children. So it's going to be a good move. I might say that for August 30th, though. Let's do that. I'm thinking about that. But, yeah, but July 19th, and then the lights, I like the idea, the work you're doing, sister. You know what I'm saying? You always have an outlet right here. Feel free to call in with us anytime. That's Preston Shaw. Give us your contact information again.
Sure. My contact information again is going to be area code 773-822-2520. And I do have a website, too. So it's www.lightuplawndale.org. And then the next thing we need to make sure we talk about, too, is how these systems are broken, because that's what I've been fighting against, too, is this riot fest thing. And, you know, in Lawndale, riots was what tore down our community. And now they're allowing a festival to come in there for the last 7 years. I kid you not, they've been making money hand over fist. And the only thing we were able to do, they've been making at least somewhere from like 12 to maybe, I'm going to say $50 million off of Douglas Park. And if I show you these pictures in the basement, it looks like a horror movie down there. And the only answer they keep giving us from the Chicago Park District to the city, even to the gentleman, I've spoken with the event coordinator, George Herrera, myself, say, hey, tell the park that you want to send this money to the basement so we can get it redone. He told me, oh, well, the park district told me it goes to a general fund, and it goes to all the 600 parks on the west side. I mean, just Chicagoland area. I'm sorry. It don't even come back to the west side. We don't even know where that money goes. But this man comes over there, gives $2 million to the – I'm sorry. He gets a 90% discount to use our park.
Yeah.
Not to mention that it's two hospitals. One of them is a trauma hospital. And nine times out of ten, where they having this festival, they can barely get down Ogden Avenue to get that person to the hospital. So yeah, it's a lot of corrupt stuff going on. That's why I said, you know, how are we when this stuff is still happening, huh?
That's right. Have his phone up on deck. We go with him. I made this talk. Him, he's talking about this criminal, 15 war Raymond Lopez, and some other issues. Have all that on deck for next week. The history that we call the Ride Fest, and we want to get some resources. The resource they're getting, like you just mentioned, should be allocated to, you said, the trauma units or whatever. Have that on standby, ready to go for next week, sis. And stay in contact with us, man. I appreciate you. Y'all make www.lightuplawndale.
Yes, sir. .org. Yes, sir. We got a website and everything.
Org.
Just check out everything that we're doing.
Hit this up. And the elders, y'all get in contact. Right on, sis. Love, respect. Man, any closing comments before I bring this call in?
No, I was just going to say, let's go ahead and work together. So we know the system is broken, but the way we got to do it, we got to make sure we work together. And we can't have any backbiters or backstabbers, but we got to learn the system and then make the system work in our favor like everybody else do.
Don't let me forget about that. Stay on me about that July 19th. Don't let me forget about that. Let's stay in contact before the end. Right on. Thank you, sis. Right on.
Thank
Freedom,
you,
all love, respect. Thank you. Right on. Are we getting more callers in queue? On the countdown.
Yeah, we have another
call in
queue.
Call in
queue.
Freedom all. Hello? Freedom all. Yes, Freedom
all.
Freedom
all.
How you
be, sir? I'm well. How you be, sir?
Hey, give us what you hear us. Okay, I know you put that a sister online with us. Let us know who she is, and I need y'all to come on deck with us next week for sure. So let us know. We're at the close, about 2 minutes at the closing. So give us a real quick intro who the sister is and what we can look forward to next week.
Okay, next week we're going to have hopefully Jasmine Smith, Miss Jasmine Smith. She's a co-chair for CFIS, and she's going to speak on behalf of what's going on in our city, as well as what has went on in our city in regards to, man, how these people and corruption has led to a fight that needs to be fought on all fronts by our people, man, because we stressing the whole Free 'Em All initiative, and we want them all to come home ASAP.
Right on. Give us a website or something people can look at this, before next week. Give us a website or something. or Facebook, social media or something. Remo, you there? Hello? Caller?
Remo, we lost the caller, Jimmy.
Okay. We C-Fist, C-F-I-S-T. That's going to be next week. We're coming in real deep next week, y'all. Make sure y'all the corrupt Chicago band, they bogus. You know what I'm saying? The complaints up there, you heard about them. You know what I'm saying? We're on the wall of fame, the wall of shame. We're going to be talking about this contradiction, continuous contradictions. And this 15th war with Raymond Lopez. We're talking about the situation in this Park District over here in the Lawndale and so much other stuff, y'all. Again, revolutionary love and respect. The politics of fatherhood. Again, shout out Shaka King. His mother's passing. Keep y'all, this 25th. Keep us posted, y'all. Love and respect. Again, thank y'all to the comrades, to the community, to the people. This pilgrimage down to the Tamron Fred's grave site. Again, spirit of making history, taking history, taping history. Give us something to take us on out with. This is Comrade Fremont.
All the time, I'm hoping my true motherfuckers know this be the realest shit I ever wrote. Up in the studio, getting blowed to the truest shit I ever spoke. 21 guns salute, dressed in fatigue, black jeans and boots. Disappeared in the crowd, all you seen was shoot. That little nigga named Nine, think he live like me. Talk about he left the hospital, took fire like me. You live in fantasies, nigga, I reject your deposit. We shook Drake one bass, now we out of the closet. Mom deep, wonder why, nigga, blow them out. Next time grown folks talking, nigga, close your mouth. Beat me, I take this bullshit deeply. There seems too many real players fall to let these bitch niggas beat me. Fuck. Let's be honest, you a punk or you would see me with gloves. Remember that shit you said to Bob about me being a thug? And you can tell the people you roll with whatever you want. But you and I know what's going on. Payback, I knew you bitch niggas from way back. Witness me strapped with Max, knew I wouldn't play that. All you old rappers trying to advance, it's all over now, take it like a man. Niggas looking like Larry Holmes, flabby and sick. Trying to play a hate on my shit, to eat a fat dick. Let it be known as how you made me. Loving how I got you niggas crazy. Niggas against all lies, hoping my thug motherfuckers know this be the realest shit I ever wrote. Niggas against all lies, up in the studio getting blown. The truest shit I ever spoke. Against all odds, hoping my true motherfuckers know this is the realest shit I ever wrote. I heard he was light-skinned, stocky, with a Haitian accent. Jewelry, fast cars, and he's known for blasting. Listen while I take you back and lay this rap. A real live tale about a snitch named Haitian Jack. Knew he was working for the feds. Same crime, different trials, nigga, picture what he said. And did I mention? Promise to pay back Jimmy Hitchman. In due time, I need you bitch niggas is listening. The world is mine. Set me up, wet me up, niggas stuck me up. Heard your guns bust, but you tricks never shut me up. Touch one of mine on everything I owe. I will destroy everything you touch. Play the game, nigga. All out warfare, eye for eye. Last words to a bitch nigga. Why you lie? Now you gotta watch your back now. Watch your front. Here we come, gunshots and tough. Now you stuck. Fuck the rap game, nigga, this M.O.B. So believe me, we enemies. I go against all lies. I'm hoping my true motherfuckers know. This be the realest shit I ever wrote. Against all lies. Up in the studio, getting blown. To the truest shit I ever spoke. Against all lies. Hoping my true motherfuckers know. This be the realest shit I ever wrote. Puffy getting robbed like a bitch. To hide that back, he did some shit he should have did, so we riding for that. And that nigga that was down with me, rest of dead. Switch sides, gets his new friends, one of them dead. Probably be murdered for the shit that I said. I bring the real, be a legend, breathing the dead. Lord, listen to me, God don't like ugly, it was written. Nah, your whole damn style is written. You heard my melody, read about my life in the papers. All my run-ins with authorities, felonious capers. Say you wanna live my life. So it's a hostage, nah. Niggas that don't rhyme right. You see too many movies. Load them up against the wall. Close his eyes. Since you lie, you die. Goodbye. Let the real live niggas hear the truth for me. And what would you do if you was me, nigga? Against all odds. Open my true motherfuckers know. This be the realest shit I ever wrote. Against all odds. Up in the studio getting blowed. The truest shit I ever spoke. Against all odds. Open my true motherfuckers know. This be the realest shit I ever wrote. Against all lies, up in the studio, getting blowed. The truest shit I ever spoke. Against all lies, put them on guard.
guns to my true thug niggas. 21 guns to my niggas that died in the line of duty. Represent to the fullest being soldiers. The military minds that play the rules of the game. 21 guns salute. I salute you, my niggas. Stay strong. I ride for you. I rhyme for you. I roll for you. It's all you bitch made niggas. I'm coming for you. It's all mine. Touch me, I'm at you. I know you motherfuckers can think I forgot. Hell nah, I ain't forgot, nigga. I just remember what you told me. You said don't rule a war unless I got my money right. I got my money right, nigga. Y'all want war.
The Freshman.
Ladies and gentlemen, the revolution.
Off that boat, dog. 2 years later, nigga facing that Rico law.